The following podcast is a part of RadioMisfits.com. And now it's time for the Mr. Nelson Show. Well, it's time to talk about Space 1999 once again.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's been a bit. No, I'm getting pretty regular about it, but I kind of forgot all about this one and didn't get to it until now.
I guess your memory was a bit cloudy.
Yeah. Yeah, the title of this episode was Beta Cloud.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. So, it looks like the Beta Cloud took on the Alpha Base.
Yeah. So, anyway, there's this cloud, and they had sent an eagle to go investigate it, and they didn't hear back from them. And then the eagle returns, and they're like, oh, cool. Meanwhile, there's some sort of flu breaking out on the base, and everyone's getting sick, and especially Koenig. Oh, boy, he's got to go to the infirmary, I guess. And I'm like, oh, boy, I wonder if it has anything to do with this cloud.
It doesn't?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, the eagle was supposed to bring back samples of dust particles so they could try to figure out what the problem is and all that. Well, when the eagle comes in to land, Tony heads over to investigate, and there's nobody on board except for this monster standing there. the monster did look a little better than that fish head guy from the one with
the girl who had the crush on the guy in the yellow panties.
Yeah, that one. So this one was a little bit better, but immediately he just starts whooping ass and not taking names. And Tony and there was at least two other security guys in there, and Tony and one of them haul ass out of there. They're like,
well, it's a monster.
Yeah, but they leave the other guy behind.
Well, maybe he was already dead, but
they didn't check. They didn't check. So they hurried up, got out of there, hopped into their little tunnel train thing, you know, and then... Oh, we've got to lock the doors.
Lock the doors?
Yeah, it didn't work. And the monster figured out how to use the tunnel train.
Oh, my God. Now he's going to have access to the whole base.
Yeah, yeah, and he quickly does. And he, he seems unstoppable. Their ray guns don't work at all. And, they just try everything. And with Koenig out and Alan down, that leaves everything up to Tony.
Oh, my God, they're doomed.
Ordinarily, yes, but it's a show, and it wasn't the last one just yet. So somehow through, you know, a series of stumbling and mistakes and idiot things here and there, they managed to make it. Helped in a large part by his girlfriend Maya, of course, with her shape-shifting abilities. She could turn into other monsters.
Other monsters? Why didn't she just turn into the same monster?
Well, she couldn't.
Why not? Well,
there was something odd about him.
What was it?
Well, they never could figure it out until the very end.
Oh, of course. It was a big secret.
Right. The monster was being guided by some mysterious intelligence from the cloud.
Oh, some sort of cloud entity.
Apparently of some sort. You never really get to see them. But they're the ones causing all the trouble for Alpha.
Well, okay, what do they want to do?
Oh, they want their life support system.
The whole system?
Not really, just some sort of battery that's in it.
A battery?
Yeah, that's what I'm calling it. Once they remove that, then the life support system doesn't work.
They don't have a spare or anything?
I guess not. I mean, maybe they ran out by now.
Yeah, I guess. So what are the odds that it's going to work for these people living in a cloud?
I don't know, but they seem to think it would. So that was the mission for this creature. There you go. They got to stop him from doing it, you know. But he almost gets it after they keep fighting. And then suddenly they realize, hey, let's electrocute it. And That seems to work because turns out the creature was a robot.
Oh, my goodness. Damn it. That explains, well, not a whole lot, but it does explain why Maya couldn't copy it, because it wasn't really a creature. It wasn't organic.
Exactly. So there you go. That's, wow, what a twist, huh?
No, not really, no.
Yeah. That's it. Eventually, the creature falls over. They suddenly realize, hey, we've got a giant laser cannon on the base. And so they activate it and start shooting at the cloud. And at first, it seems like it doesn't work. And the intelligence goes, ha, 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 ha. Just lay down and die. It'll be easier that way.
Oh, my goodness. That's the deal he was offering.
Yeah. So, but they just keep shooting, and eventually, it works. So.
That's it?
Yeah, pretty much. It's their fault, you know. They made them sick. They sent this robot monster. They were going to steal their life support and kill them off. So, they got what they deserved, you know. So
this is probably one of the weaker episodes of the weaker season.
Somewhat, being attacked by a monster and seeming being helpless before it and all that. And, you know, they're like, oh, there's stakes and stuff. It was all right for that, but, you know, just not a whole lot.
Not really well thought out.
No, not really, but, it is what it is, I guess. So anyway, after that, Tony's all banged up, so he's got to, everybody else is back to full health, but now he's got to sit in the infirmary.
Oh, that was their ending joke?
Not quite. He was sitting there, so Maya shows up with some gifts and stuff and wants to, help him recover and nurse him and fawn all over him. Well, he finally fessed up to his deep feelings for her.
Oh, yeah. You know, that happens under stress. That's nice. But this is a big moment for their relationship.
Except that he says, hey, I was under stress and stuff, and insinuated he didn't really mean it. So she gets all pissed and leaves him there in traction and all that. So that was supposed to be silly and funny.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. So anyway, they lived to float through space another day on the moon for Space 1999.
This is a Nelson News Bulletin.
Teacher who resigned after OnlyFans page was discovered is fired days after starting new job.
Hello, I'm Mr. Nelson. A Missouri-based OnlyFans model who resigned from her high school teaching job when her adult video platform was exposed has been fired again just days after starting a new job. Brianna Coppett, 28, barely made it a full work week as a community support specialist at Compass Health before her new bosses discovered her OnlyFans account. Wonder how they did that. Claiming she violated social media policy.
I lasted 5 days before they put me on leave and subsequently fired me just this month,
she said. Coppage claims she was open, I'll bet, and truthful about all her past job experiences, even the handy ones, and reasons for leaving, but that they only did the digital background checks after they offered the job.
They admitted that they didn't call my references or Google me before they hired me,
Coppage added.
They claim that I violated their social media policy, but will not respond to me with how I violated it.
In September 2023, Coppage, an English teacher, was placed on administrative leave when the St. Clair School District discovered the pornographic site she ran with her husband.
Coppage ultimately resigned from her position, where she had worked for 2 years teaching freshmen and sophomores at St. Clair High School.
I don't want to fight the school district. I'm just ready for peace.
A lot of people were ready for a piece of you.
I don't want the school to continue getting hate. I would like the education of students to be able to return to normal They deserve to have a great year.
Gopage made light of the recent firing, taking to Instagram to jokingly ask for a new job recommendation while sitting on a couch in only her underwear.
So I'm sure by now you've heard or you've seen I've been fired from my most recent job. Anyone knows of anywhere hiring? Can you just put it in the comments for me? That would be great.
The former educator said she started the OnlyFans account as a side job, offering a side piece, because she earned around $42,000 per year as a teacher. Cottage claimed she has made over $1 million off of her erotic work since her resignation. do you need the job? According to her bio on X, she also claimed to be in the top 0.1% of models on OnlyFans. And, you know, being a former teacher helps, you know, that old fantasy. Gopage said she struggled mentally because she was not in a normal routine after her resignation. You spend a lot of time on all fours now.
Not having to get up and go to a 9-to-5 has been tough on my mental health.
Following the revelation of Gopage's not-so-private life, another English teacher in the school was caught and placed on leave due to her own account on the internet subscription service site. Megan Ganther's OnlyFans was shared with the school district after a student slid a note under her door claiming they knew her secret. The English teacher and cheer coach says she began sharing her work to help pay off more than $125,000 in student loans after only being paid $47,500 a year. Well, it's a shame to see the entrepreneurial spirit so badly tarnished. But, of course, in the classroom setting, you know, the obvious distraction of seeing your hot young teacher in pornographic videos and photos. I mean, how are you going to concentrate, you know? Remember the hot young teachers you might have on occasion when you were in school? Man, that would have been something, huh? Yeah. Oh, but anyway, it's all very naughty and nasty, and these ladies need a spanking pronto.
This has been a Nelson News Bulletin. You're listening to the Mr. Nelson Show here on RadioMisfits.com.
Bugman, that amazing Avenger of the Night, who, in his guise of billionaire pest control industrialist Bob Finger, was attending the carnival grounds of Miracle Melvin's Wonderland, when he and his date, girl reporter Nikki Nail, witnessed a terrible tragedy. But then this led to the shocking revelation that one of the survivors of said tragedy was in reality Bob Finger's long-lost half-brother.
Our investigation shows that the tank was sabotaged and rigged to electrocute anyone who was in contact with the water. Seems the boy just got lucky when he was thrown clear of the scene.
If you can call being orphaned luck...
Sabotage means murder.
Well, yeah. By the way, speaking of orphan, we managed to wake up a judge tonight and fast-track the paperwork, so you can take Dick Sprung home tonight.
What? Wait a minute. Well, how the hell did this happen?
Oh, I thought you knew. Well, during our investigation and interviewing the other employees, it appears Betty Hotsquite's husband was not the father Dick Sprung, but rather the late Rod Finger, I believe, your father, Bob. It appears Dick Sprung is your half-brother.
What?
The next morning finds Bob Finger and Dick Sprung walking in the front door of Finger Pest Control Central, where they're greeted by Smedley Johnson, the general manager and personal aide and confidant to Bob Finger, who is the only person who knows that Bob Finger is, in reality, Bugman.
Hey, Smedley.
Hey, Bob. What the hell are you doing up here so early in the morning?
Well, I'm going to need your help in, fixing up the upstairs apartment for Mr. Dick Sprung here.
Say what?
Hi, Mr. Johnson.
Bob, what's this all about? I mean, that apartment is there for, you know, your other career.
Yeah, well, never mind about that, Smedley. But you see, I found myself inadvertently drawn in to an unfortunate series of events, most notably of which was the brutal and horrific murder of this young man's parents.
What? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was scary. And worst of all, I still can't get the smell out of my nose.
Oh, yeah, that's bad. Bob, I understand all the sympathies and everything, but shouldn't this young man be with his own family?
Well, that's the other shoe to drop in all this, Smedley, for it seems I am his family.
Wait, what?
Turns out Dick Sprung is my half-brother.
Oh, man!
Yes, his recently deceased mother was my old babysitter, Betty Hot Squat.
Oh, Betty, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense now.
Makes sense? Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you knew about this?
Well, I didn't know she had your daddy's baby, but I could tell he was into Betty. I mean, every time she needed to go home, he made damn sure he was the one to give her the ride. She didn't live that far away, but it sure took him a long time to get there and get back. Yeah, it didn't take much to figure out what was going on now.
Man, y'all got a lot of poison around here.
Well, this is the pest control business, and pesticide is the name of the game.
Yeah, but how many ways can you kill a bug?
Oh, a lot.
Huh. Hey, what's back here behind that door?
Oh, never mind. That's off limits. There's, dangerous crap in there and stuff like that. So you just stay away from there, Dick. Now let's get you upstairs and settled into your new room.
And soon, Bob and Smedley get Dick settled in to the upstairs apartment.
So there you go. You got your own shower and shitter in the back room and TV and computer. So, there you go.
This is it? Huh, ain't much to do here.
Well, it's a hell of a lot better than that crappy camper you were living in.
It's the only home I ever knew.
Hey, look, sorry about that. There's a lot of stress going on and everything. And besides, if you get bored, don't worry. Smedley will probably have some chores for you to do downstairs. You know, you can sweep up the store and stuff like that.
Chores? I don't want to do that.
Why, you ungrateful little... Listen, you. While you're here where it's safe, I'm going to be utilizing some sources and help investigate the crime against your parents.
Whoa, really? Well, I gotta be a part of that.
What? No. It's too dangerous. You see, this was a brutal murder. It was obviously designed to send some sort of message. Perhaps your parents got involved in something they shouldn't have and made enemies. That makes you a possible target, Dick. Which is why you've got to stay put where it's safe. Otherwise, the killers may come looking for you.
Oh, no! I don't want to get barbecued!
Well, then you stay put, and you don't leave this room unless you're accompanied by Smedley. I'll talk to you later. All right, Smedley, keep a close eye on him and make sure he doesn't go snooping around lest he find the secret door to the bug hole.
The bug hole? Oh, man, why you gotta call it that?
Well, I wanted to be called the Scarlet Scarab or the Crimson Cicada, but no! The world decided my name is Bugman. So the secret headquarters will be the Bug Hole.
So what? You were going to call it the scarab hole or the cicada hole?
Damn it, Smedley!
Yeah, well, this bug man shit is stupid.
That's only because you didn't suffer the terrible loss that I suffered. And with the horrible tragedy that my half-brother has suffered, it's only renewed my dedication to my crusade against crime.
What? Oh, come on, man. You ain't no victim of crime like poor little Dick back there. You just went around messing with hookers, and your wife didn't like it, so she left you.
Damn it, Smedley, must I remind you that prostitution is a crime, and it seduced me and destroyed my marriage.
Oh, man.
And even though closure is an elusive dream, the pursuit of justice, however, is no fool's errand.
Yeah, you could have fooled me.
Thus, I shall now head back to the scene of the crime to further the investigation, but not as Bob Finger, but rather as Bugman.
And later, as Smedley minds the store, he's interrupted by young employee Barbie Buxom.
Hey, Mr. Johnson, I was wondering if you could help me out.
Huh? Holy shit, goddamn. I mean, Yeah, anything for you, Bobby.
Well, I got a lot of boxes to stock, and I'm going to need you to steady the stepladder for me so I can reach the tippy top.
Well, I'll be right there behind you.
Okay, good. Oh, and apologies in advance because, well, my booty might end up resting on your forehead.
Holy shit. I mean, well, I'll just have to make do.
And while Smedley is amply distracted, little Dick Sprung gets bored of sitting in the upstairs apartment.
Man, this is boring sitting in this upstairs apartment. Huh. Maybe I should go downstairs and see if Smedley's got something to do. It better be better than mopping floors or some shit. Hey, Smedley! Smedley? Where you at, Smedley? Huh? What's going on back here?
Oh, yeah. Work it. Work it, baby. Oh.
Whoa. Looks like Smedley's pretty busy. Better not mess with that. Hey, I know. Now's my chance to go see what that back room's all about. Huh, not much in here. Hey, wait a minute. That tool shelf. It's just a painting of a tool shelf. That's stupid. Why would you get a painting like that? Hey, wait a minute. It looks like there's a seam here. Maybe this crowbar will help. Whoa. Man, what the hell's in here? Whoa. Look at all this stuff. Man. It's a couple of weird-looking Volkswagen Beetles. Oh, man! Look at all those costumes! Well, that looks like the same kind of suits that Bugman wears! Huh. That must mean... Yeah, Bob Finger is Bugman! Huh. Oh, wow! Look at this golden bug trophy thing. Man, feels like it really is gold. I wonder how much I could get for that at the pawn shop.
Oh, no! Now Dick Sprung has discovered Bob Finger's secret. Will he reveal it? Will he mess everything up? Well, we'll have to find out in the next exciting episode of Bugman!
Bugman was written, produced, and performed by me, Douglas Nelson. Music came courtesy of Kevin MacLeod and other public domain sources.
No. The views and opinions expressed during the Mr. Nelson Show do not necessarily reflect those held by RadioMisfits.com. So, any complaints and or comments should be sent to at Mr. Nelson on Twitter, where they will be promptly ignored and or blocked.
Yeah.